we're going to revisit some things about so-called NAR, New Apostolic Reformation, and set the record straight. Am I a leader in this or not?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, friends, we've got a lot of ground to cover today, and we are going to dig in deep and bring clarity and bring light and hopefully set the record straight on a few controversial issues once and for all. Michael Brown, welcome to the broadcast, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. If you feel I have not clarified certain issues important to you that relate to today's subject matter, if you want to challenge a point that I'm making, please, by all means, take advantage of the opportunity to call in. Now, tomorrow, God willing, we will be hearing from a couple that I've never spoken with from Australia with the Christ Alignment Ministry, and they are the ones involved with what some people claim is a Christian version of tarot cards. In other words, they're promoting some type of witchcraft. They've even been called witches in doing it. They say they're bringing the gospel to New Agers. So they reached out to me when they saw that this subject came up on the broadcast. I've said I've not tracked down what they're doing. It hasn't been something I followed or was interested in. Critics have gone after me. I'm sticking my head in the sand, etc. Well, they're going to be on the air. We're going to find out together. I'll ask them direct questions. But please, if you have heard bad things about their ministry, if you think it's not a ministry at all, it's some promotion of witchcraft, it's a mixture, please, by all means, do your best to schedule time to call in tomorrow so you can raise your concerns, raise your questions, and then they will speak for themselves. All right? 866-34-TRUTH. NAR, the so-called New Apostolic Reformation, a term that was coined by the late Dr. Peter Wagner. What is it? Is it a network with hundreds of millions of charismatics and Pentecostals around the world? Does it represent the worst abuses of the charismatic Pentecostal movement? Is it unified in any way? Does it have a joint leadership? Am I part of it? What is true? What is false? Say, well, what brings you back to this subject? Well, I dealt with it a lot, I don't know, a year ago, something like that, kept coming up and dealt with it, interacted with different folks on different sides of the issue. But this past weekend, I was ministering in California, had the joy of ministering with my friend Eitan Bar, my younger Israeli friend, who is one of the leaders in One for Israel, doing an amazing job getting the gospel out in Israel and around the world, but getting the gospel out in Hebrew, in Israel, getting the gospel out in Arabic to the Muslim world as well. So he reposted the testimony that I did with One for Israel, and then later that day sent me comments like, you got to look at this, look at some of these Facebook comments. We're unsubscribing from your Facebook page, Eitan, because you are now working with NAR, and Dr. Michael Brown is part of NAR, and NAR is working with the Pope, and this and that. So I thought, okay, all right, let's, and of course he sent it to me with a smile, but let's do our best to separate fact from fiction. I want to be as clear as I can. And then I'm going to go to one website. When I was looking for different website definitions last night, different Christian websites and things like that, I found one from an outspoken critic of NAR that describes exactly what the chief characteristics of NAR churches are according to him. So I'm going to go through this list, and I'll tell you who's in a moment. I'm going to go through that list and tell you exactly where I stand on each of the issues. All right, so here's the deal. I will be black and white clear in terms of what I believe and what I don't believe, and then I'll expose what I believe are the errors surrounding this description of so-called NAR. All right, so number one, Peter Wagner coined the term some years back, looking at church growth movements around the planet, in China, in Africa, in Latin America, United States, different parts of the world, disparate, unrelated movements that he saw were out of the normal denominational structure. And he saw that they were restoring certain things from the New Testament that other generations may not have seen as prominently, etc. And he then dubbed it. This is him as a professor, as a missiologist, dubbing it the New Apostolic Reformation. So a general term, talking about churches from 100 years ago, churches that don't even know each other, different movements. That's just a description he put on it. Most don't use it the way that he was using it. Then, more specifically, Peter Wagner spearheaded an organization bringing together different apostolic leaders, different, quote, apostles, bringing them together and leading this. He then referred to this more specifically as New Apostolic Reformation, or you could say this was the spearhead of New Apostolic Reformation. I was never part of that organization. I agreed with certain things Peter Wagner said and disagreed with other things Peter Wagner said. However, there is now a term largely used by critics, used by outsiders to describe what they see as something joining together these very Pentecostal charismatic churches in a formal way, some think in a formal way with formal leadership, some think in a more informal, organic way because you get different perspectives from different critics, etc. And they put this all together and they call it NAR. And wherever you have charismatic abuses, they get lumped in there. We have dominionist theology, that gets lumped in there. Prosperity gospel, that gets lumped in there. And things I would agree with within it, things I disagree with in it. And that's what I'm frequently accused of being in denial. Brown, you're a part of NAR and you deny it. The thing that the critics describe as NAR is their description. It would be like me coming up with MUD. In fact, we are for the first time announcing MUD. Say MUD, yeah. Ministries United in Discernment. Mm-hmm. All these different critics, these anti-charismatic critics and those who deny the gifts of the Spirit for today and those who oppose the working of the Spirit around the world and those who say there are no signs and wonders and miracles backing the Word of God today, they're actually MUD. Ministries United in Discernment. Now, if you ask them, are you part of MUD? Their first response is, what is MUD? What are you talking about? And then when you press, they go, no, I'm not part of that. What are you talking about? That's my response when the critics come up with their definition of NAR. It throws a whole bunch of things together in one category, throws leaders together in one category. If you're friends with this, or never work with this one, therefore you're part of it. That is the thing that I oppose, that I differ with, that I reject. Do I believe that there are apostles and prophets today? Yes, I believe they've been here through church history. We just haven't always recognized them. Do I believe they have the authority of New Testament apostles? No, of course not. Do I believe they're adding to the Bible? God forbid. Absolutely not. I would separate from anyone that taught anything like that. Do I believe the gifts and power of the Spirit for today? Absolutely. Am I word of faith? No. Do I believe in the prosperity gospel? No. Do I believe in dominion theology? No. I'm very happy to be very direct on all of those things. Nothing to hide, nothing to be ambiguous about. Am I part of what the critics call NAR? No, there is no such thing in terms of what the critics call NAR. So here, let me just illustrate this for you, all right? Let's go to Wikipedia. Wikipedia actually has a definition of NAR. I'm not saying there's any authority to it, all right? New Apostolic Reformation is a movement which seeks to establish a fifth branch within Christendom. That's a new one, a fifth branch, distinct from Catholicism, Protestantism, Oriental Orthodoxy, and Eastern Orthodoxy. It goes on to say that the movement is largely associated with the Pentecostal and charismatic movements and advocates the restoration of the lost offices of church governance, namely the offices of prophet and apostle, inspired by the G12 movement. So that's another interesting thing. So it's inspired by the G12 movement, a certain way of discipling and growing churches. It grows by recruiting pastors of independent congregations and non-denominational churches, by assimilating members from other churches through cell group meetings, and by frequent church planting and rapid expansion, including foreign missions around the globe. So this is a complete amalgam of some truth, some error, and some things that specifically reflect the Wagner NAR movement. Okay, let's look at answersingenesis.org. All right? It calls NAR the fastest growing counter-Christian movement most haven't heard of. So it's a counter-Christian movement. And then what is NAR? First, you need to understand that NAR isn't an official organization, nor can it be characterized by a common creed. It is instead a loosely knit and often unaffiliated network of leaders who share a common vision and goal for the visible church to reestablish the office, official titles and offices of prophets and apostles, of men and women appointed and anointed to have authority over the church, not just their own churches, but all of us within the church is the bride of Christ. Ah, some do believe that. That is an accurate description of what some believe. I don't hold to that. I reject the idea that there are supposed to be specific apostles that now have authority over all the church, as much as I recognize apostolic ministries, leading organizations, church planting movements, things like that. Like that, I've said many times, I look at Hudson Taylor and John Wesley as apostles, but they would not have been called by those names. I look at Francis Schaeffer and Chuck Colson as prophets. Some would call them that, some not. But they weren't adding to the Bible, nor are modern-day apostles writing scripture or having that level of authority. But some do agree with that description there. I don't. In other words, I do not affirm that that is right. So it's a right description of some churches that would be called apostolic. And I differ with the idea that you're supposed to, now everyone has to come under some apostle somewhere. All right. These apostles and prophets are to govern the church and reveal new truths that we, all of us together, can and must unleash God's miraculous power to advance his kingdom on earth. Yeah, well, there are plenty of churches that believe in the gifts and power of the Spirit for today and say that that's essential for the furtherance of the gospel. But they have nothing to do with so-called NAR. They're just Pentecostal or charismatic churches. Again, this is the problem of grouping all this together. Here, let me give you one more. Got Questions website. What is the New Apostolic Reformation? It is an unbiblical religious movement that emphasizes experience over scripture. Not in my world. I don't work with anybody that emphasizes experience over scripture. And I supposedly work with all these NAR leaders. I don't work with anybody that emphasizes experience over scripture. Mysticism over doctrine, same there. And modern-day apostles over the plain text of the Bible. No, that's just wrong. But see, that's the problem. This is how NAR is being described by the critics. In other words, you create a definition, maybe take extreme statements from extreme leaders in different places, put it all together, and create this terrible, monstrous entity called NAR that's doing this terrible damage around the world. And if you say you're not part of it, you're lying. Friends, this is why we need to separate fact from fiction. All right, so tell you what, we come back, I'm going to go through some definitions of NAR, descriptions of NAR that I found on One Critic's website, and go through point for point and tell you if I agree or not. Then you tell me, am I part of NAR or not?
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Look, it's one thing if you talk about Southern Baptist Convention. There's going to be diversity within it, but there's identifiable leadership, identifiable doctrinal stances. You can say if this church is Southern Baptist or not, or you're an Assembly of God church. Right, particular Pentecostal denomination, you're part of the Vineyard movement, or you're a Calvary Chapel church, or these things are more readily definable. All right, you can say here are leaders, here's the history of it, here are distinctive beliefs, this is being part of it or not. The problem with the so-called NAR is the definition, the way it's being used today, is the way critics put it together. Again, it would be like me referring to MUD, M-U-D, as Ministries United for Discernment, and saying anyone that's a critic of the charismatic movement is therefore a part of it. So John MacArthur is as much a part of it as Pirate Christian is a part of it, as much as Todd Freeland Wretched are a part of it, as much as some unknown critic to them in Malaysia or Indonesia or Venezuela. But now somehow they're all united, and then all I have to do is find an extreme of one of these people saying something really bad or really out there. Now somehow they're all responsible for it, and they're working together. And if I tell them, you know, you're part of MUD, what is MUD? Ah, you see, I deal with this all the time. People say to me, Mike, what's this thing NAR? What is NAR? What are they talking about? And these are some of the alleged leaders, all right? Do I believe in fivefold ministry today? Yes. I have since the 80s because I studied scripture and said I believe this is biblical. before I ever heard of something called NAR. And folks that I work with for years, like, what's NAR? But we believed in fivefold ministry. All right, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. I've got a stack of responses that I'm going to go through where you answered my question on Facebook and Twitter. According to your understanding, what is NAR, in quotes, the New Apostolic Reformation, and is it good or bad, and why? So you'll find these responses useful and enlightening, okay? But here's what I want to do. Let me go over to, here we go, piratechristian.com, Berean Examiner, the six hallmarks of a NAR church. This was June 7th, 2016. So I assume it's up on the website from 4 years ago. They still hold to these things. And as I was searching for different sites that sought to give clarity, I found this. I thought, okay, I'm going to use this definition by one of the critics. I'm going to use this definition and tell you whether I'm part of NAR based on this definition here. Okay? It was using this definition. So I'll play the game. All right. So let's see. Six hallmarks. One, apostles. We're in a second apostolic age. There are new apostles on the earth today, anointed by the laying on of hands to represent and speak for God here on earth. These super apostles are equal to the original apostles, the ones who witnessed Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, and were appointed by Christ himself to the office. Since these new apostles are commissioned by God, their authority may not be questioned. I reject that position. Whoever believes that, in other words, Pirate Christian may be giving an accurate description of some people who believe that, but I categorically reject that. When I speak of apostles today, we always refer to them as little a apostles. In other words, not like the 12 apostles, not having the authority of the 12 apostles and the authority of every leader. I don't care who you are, pastor, elder, apostle, I don't care who you are. Every leader's authority can be questioned and must line up with Scripture and be in submission to other leaders as well. So I categorically reject that. So category number one, as described by Pirate Christian Radio, I reject. That is not my position. All right. Number two, kingdom. Rather than preach the gospel of the cross, apostolic leaders are working to bring the gospel of the kingdom of heaven to earth. I categorically reject that position. Are there some who are doing that? Could be. All right. In other words, I'm not saying that this description was completely made up out of whole cloth. So there are some that probably hold to something like this. But for me, the ones I work with, my team, those we've trained, sent out, serve around the world, everything starts with the gospel of the cross. The gospel of the cross. All right. So these apostolic leaders do this by taking dominion of earthly kingdoms or mountains of government, media, entertainment, education, business, family, religion. Leaders often talk of city building and organized prayer walks to pray against demonic strongholds. They often speak of being mission-focused rather than being Christ-centered. Okay, I agree with some and disagree with other parts. I'm all for taking prayer walks. Pray, walk through cities and pray. Why not? Absolutely. I think that's a great idea. And I do believe that there are demonic powers over different areas or regions or religions or ethnicities or things that sometimes we're battling spiritually, organized demonic forces. Nothing new about holding to that. But being mission-focused rather than being Christ-centered, no, we are Christ-centered. And because we're Christ-centered, we burn with a mission to reach the lost. Because we're Christ-centered, we burn with a mission to take the gospel to the ends of the earth and to make disciples of the nations. Do I believe in dominion theology? No, categorically no. I am not postmillennial. I am not, and even within postmillennialism, there are different views of what it means to have dominion or for the gospel to triumph on the earth. I am premillennial. I believe as we get closer and closer to the end of the age, we'll see parallel extremes, the greatest outpouring of the Spirit in history, the greatest works of darkness, great moving of God, great falling away. I believe we'll see parallel extremes as we come to the end of this age before Jesus returns and establishes his kingdom on the earth. Do I believe that the church should seek to have a positive influence in all these so-called seven mountains? Yeah, absolutely. Don't abandon the universities. Don't abandon the media. Don't abandon the larger education system. Don't abandon the world of entertainment. Try to bring the gospel. Try to have a positive influence. I mean, who wouldn't believe that? But take dominion over? No, I reject that categorically. So two for two so far. I'm not doing well if I'm supposed to be a leader in NAR. Destiny, presence, glory. Though members are not always charismatic, they frequently emphasize a manifestation of glory in God's presence and often have a special anointing to receive direct revelation from God, perform healings and other signs and wonders. They teach that our purpose is to achieve our dream destiny so that we can change the world. I would absolutely not say it like that and definitely differ with some of that definition. I believe we can change the world to a certain extent through the gospel. Did the gospel not have a positive effect in America to eradicate slavery? Is the gospel not standing for social justice today, say, on behalf of the unborn? Should the gospel not work against corruption and government and things like that? So would you say that the world is better where the gospel goes? Yeah. So in that sense, if my sense of destiny is I want to glorify God to the full on the earth, who wouldn't stand for that destiny? Do I believe that God manifests his presence powerfully and that people come under deep conviction? That's happened in every revival movement, that glory of God coming in deep and powerful ways. I'm not looking for an outward sign, though. I'm looking for an inward change of heart and life. Do I believe in gifts and power of the Spirit for today? Yeah, it's quite mainstream, and you can show it through church history. And I'm gladly debate what Scripture says on that. So part of that I agree with, part I differ with, and it's simply because of the way it's defined. What I'll say is I absolutely believe God comes in unusual and intense ways in terms of revival, and that we should believe for greater and greater presence of God in our preaching and teaching to bring conviction and transformation. And I believe that God backs his words with signs, wonders, and miracles to glorify Jesus and to demonstrate God's love for hurting, dying world. That's the way I would say that. For revival. Revival on a massive scale is the key in this movement. There is a strong emphasis on an end times harvest through a great awakening that we can usher in. Often these revivals are held in stadiums and reach millions around the world via live stream technology. They are marketed and produced like rock concerts. All scripture verses about an end times falling away are ignored and get replaced with hyped up plans that the next big thing that's always just around the corner. Again, very mixed description there. Very, very mixed. Revival that I believe in is God visiting an area, region, a church, and it's not going to be held in stadiums. You might end up with stadium meetings, but that's not what we mean by revival. It could be sweeping through a community, a village, just the Great Awakening in New England in the 1730s into the 40s, or Welsh Revival, 1904, 1905, things like that. The Brownsville Revival, I was part of 95 to 2000. So I'm expecting God to move like that all over the place. You can't hold it. You can't schedule it. Again, this caricatured description here is just, it's putting different things together and defining it a certain way to give a definition where there is no unified definition. This is one critic's definition. And I do believe it's going to be end times falling away. As I said a moment ago, God moving powerfully, end times falling away. So far out of four, there's not a single one that I agree with fully the way it's stated. Two, I strongly differ with the way they're stated. Okay, so obviously I'm not a leader in NAR. If I'm a leader, I'm doing a bad job. Or maybe this NAR thing is not the way critics are describing. Five, unity. Unity at the expense of biblical doctrine is almost always used as both the how and the why in this movement. I reject that. Only true unity can be based on biblical doctrine. If we don't stand for the fundamentals of the faith together, the non-negotiables, we can have no unity. All right? Unity for the sake of bringing heaven to earth is leading to the blurring of doctrinal and denominational lines, often bringing together well-known leaders of charismatic, reformed, word of faith, secret emergent, progressive Roman Catholic churches all under one umbrella. So now they're calling that umbrella NAR. See how it goes, kind of this reverse logic. But in any case, no, I only strive for unity based on truth. We must hold to the fundamentals. And NAR denies the sufficiency of Scripture. They may believe in the inerrancy and authority of the Bible, but God's breathed-out word is just not enough for them. Jesus' sacrificial death for our sins is not good enough. The promise of eternal life in heaven is not good enough. That's just a ridiculously biased way of stating things. I believe in the sufficiency of Scripture 100%, and therefore what Scripture says I affirm. And Scripture affirms our communion with God, and Scripture affirms intimacy with God, and Scripture affirms that we hear his voice and he leads us and guides us. And Scripture affirms ongoing signs, wonders, and miracles. So I 100% categorically affirm the sufficiency of Scripture as taught by Scripture. Therefore, I believe what's written. Be right back.
want, for fire we please.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, so here's the big takeaway. Here's the big takeaway. Just like the world describes us as homophobes, as bigots, as transphobes, it puts certain terms on us. If we hold to what the Bible says about sexuality, we are homophobic. It puts certain terms on us. It describes us in a critical outside way and then seeks to define who we are based on that. We do well to reject that. The same with when outsiders, critics, want to define a particular spiritual movement that they reject, and then they define it in such a way that they are now dictating who's part of it, what it is, when the thing doesn't actually exist. It's dangerous. It's misleading, and it only hurts the work of the gospel by dividing brothers and sisters. This is Michael Brown. Welcome to the broadcast, 866-34-TRUTH. If you're just tuning in, I went through the so-called six hallmarks of a NAR, New Apostolic Reformation Church, put up by the Pirate Christian Radio in what was it, July of 2016, and found that I don't qualify. Wow, I'm supposedly one of the leaders in the movement, whereas I categorically differ with some of the alleged tenets of the movement. Others differ with in part, others small